Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You know what I want.
Not Samson, Greg. Not Samson.
No, I want a top Samson.
Hey, that was pretty bad. Raptors defeated by the Orlando Magic 113-103 as I have just arrived back home from the stadium and Aleg is scrounging through my collection of books looking for something to read tonight. And he actually has a book about the Toronto Raptors. It's like the media guide for the season. Anyway, pretty hapless game. I think the Raptors were up against it from the beginning. They had a significant mismatch in the front court, as they have had over the past however many games with Kelly Olynyk is like holding down holding down the five spot. Ochai Agbaji is like the starting power forward. When I was talking to Darko after the game, I called it like Sisyphus rolling the boulder up the hill. And, you know, he said he was proud of the way the guys have been competing over the past several long. You know, a lot of them are guarding up. And honestly, I think that you have to commend them to some degree for hanging in, but also this is, you know, the professional league. Hanging in doesn't win you games, and it certainly doesn't bring you any closer to, like, you lose against Orlando Magic, that's what you're doing. You're losing against the Orlando Magic. And in a game where Gary Trent Jr. popped off and, you know, Emmanuel quickly reached double-digit assists, we're still looking at... You know, Bruce Brown had a good game too, actually, but we're still looking at, honestly, like, there's a lot of guys who they're up against it being starters. They're overextended being starters, and a lot is asked of them. And there's like G League adjacent guys. There's guys who are just looking to get their legs, and there's guys who are competing like hell. You know, one of those performances tonight was Jordan Wara, but this is a Raptors team in flux, and we should be expecting more of these games before it turns around in any meaningful capacity, to be honest. I guess also I should probably say, and this is what Darko opened up his media availability with at the start. I didn't comment on it at the time because it was like very private news, and then it seemed like everybody was just getting their statements out. But rest in peace to Nathan Barrett, and, you know, everything goes out to the Barrett family and those who are affected by his life and what he aspired to do and, you know, who he was as a person. And, you know, all the peace being sent over to RJ and all the good vibes, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, the Raptors are in a tough spot. There's a talent deficit most of these games. There is, you know, a size deficit most of these games. And what are they to do with that besides, you know, double a little bit more often, try and provide court coverage on the back end, and honestly, just do your best to like create offense. And honestly, the best form of offense in this game for the Raptors, and like a third of their offense overall, nearly, was Gary Trent Jr., who finished with one of those quintessential Gary Trent Jr. games. 31 points, 17 shots, zero assists. He is paid to come in there and gun, and he certainly did. Emmanuel finishing with like 10 and 10. I know 10 assists is a big deal, but I thought Emmanuel, he really got swallowed up by the Magic defense. I thought that their length bothered him. Their activity bothered him. And especially like Grady as well. I think Grady, when he put the dribble down, really, he had a very tough time breaking that initial line of defense. And then if he did on the gather, because you can often beat the first line on the defense on the gather when you start accelerating through, like that's all great. But then the defense at the bottom slides over. You have to start looking for a pass, and you might be looking for that pass on your last step. You might be making a jump pass. He got caught in some dangerous positions. And even if you get out of them, typically you're just resetting the basketball. So Grady, you know, he goes 3 for 9 tonight, misses all of his threes. and we look at over the past however many games, you know, he's a minus 32 tonight. He played 22 minutes. We saw a game where he played 39 minutes. We saw a game where he played 36, like Darko had mentioned after the game. We are looking to see what happens, what the dip is, rookie wall, lots of time out there, how he's responding and what that means for him. This is basically not just Grady, but for the team as a whole, learning experiences. And what else are you supposed to take away from this unless you're Gary Trent Jr. and you get to kind of like flex, you know, a 31-point performance, which you definitely deserve to do. Very impressive from that regard. And talking to him after the game and kind of reminding myself and, you know, leaning on his wisdom as somebody who's experienced so much of the NBA game. I know when he came to the Raptors, he was the youngest player on the roster, which was a unique quirk of, you know, Malachi Flynn being, you know, a really old rookie or really old, you know, relative to rookies. But at this point, Gary is the longest in the lineup tenured Raptor. He's been, you know, a starter in the league, like a no-doubt starter. He's been a guy who comes off the bench. He's been, you know, in sweatsuits. He's been everything except for like a surefire star player or an all-star. And asking him for like perspective on guys like Jamias Ramsey or Jonte Porter or Jordan Wara or Grady Dick, who he said he's worked with a lot. These games, it really does kind of spell out that the Raptors as a whole are just trying to find consistency. And it's tough to find consistency when so many different guys are being, you know, ushered in and out. I was talking to Adam during the game, and he had pointed out that the Raptors, they've had 28 players play for the team this year. 28. I know there's been trades, but that's still a lot. That still brings in like quite a few like two-way guys, G League guys, 10-day guys, all this kind of stuff. End of bench, biannual exception. This team, as currently constructed, is a hodgepodge. And their North Star in Scotty Barnes, who is quite literally a Northern Star in the NBA, you know, representing Canada's team, and also a guiding, you know, a guardrail for where this season was supposed to go. Those things get taken away. Jakob Poeltl gets injured. And you're looking at a team that is, you know, extremely thin in the front court and isn't sure how to, you know, get their secondary ball handling. So what do? They go to Kelly Olynyk a lot. They go to a lot of like delay action in their offense to work through the bigs. They invoke a lot of cutting and they just try and make it happen without using the bounce. And so Emmanuel Quickley, he's like the only guy driving team offense. Gary Trent Jr. punches in when he can to just like make like hit shots like crazy. And he's done a commendable job of doing so, I think, you know, in this run of games. Like there's possessions, there's usage to be eaten up, and he has done so. But overall, it's sloppy basketball. And the Raptors, they competed, and I think that they made the Magic like really earn it offensively. I thought they threw a lot of attention at Banchero, particularly in the first half. He jump passes so much, and eventually he kind of figured out the quirks and rhythms of the Raptors' rotations. 6 turnovers in this game, 2 8 assists. Franz, 4 assists to 4 turnovers. Like, that kind of stuff is really great. But, you know, Jalen Suggs, I thought, like, moved the ball pretty well with an active dribble. Markelle Fultz in a short amount of time when he wasn't, you know, there's definitely some possessions in this game where Markel pulled up from like the mid range where I was like, damn, I can't believe he took that shot. Jonathan Isaac had an awesome game, I thought. He's very effective and like he's just so big. He's huge out on the floor. And Joe Ingles, I mean, when you load up on one player and the ball comes back to Joe Ingles as kind of that connector, he's so capable of finding the pass with the most leverage. Leveraging that moment into like the most power you can on possession. Excuse me, I gotta turn off the space heater. There's gonna be a big beep. Okay, everybody. It's getting hot in here. And yeah, the Magic, they're a better team. They have like 16 more wins on the season than the Raptors do. The Raptors were up against it. They're not healthy. The Magic, they're supposed to come in here and do this. I am looking forward to what the Raptors are going to try and put together against them on Sunday. We'll see. They're back in Orlando. It seemed like the longer these two teams played, the better it was, certainly, for Orlando as they kind of figured out, you know, the more aggressive schemes that the Raptors are trying to throw at them. As the Raptors, you know, by proxy of being a less talented and smaller team, they have to, you know, try and catch up through schematics. They have to try and play aggressive. They have to try and make the, you know, the Magic uncomfortable. And honestly, I think they had, what, like, close to 37 points in like on fast break points tonight. Like the Raptors, a big part of what they did, it was forcing the Magic's hand. and making like Monchero into an overextended playmaker. And I commend them for it. They just, I look at this team and I wonder how they're supposed to win a game like this, right? And I feel this way after quite a few games lately. I know people get upset that the team you like is losing. I know that people do get upset about that and they think like, well, maybe if you did X or Y. I have watched a lot of Raptors basketball, not more than some people watching or some people listening. Certainly not. There's some people who have been, you know, from the moment the team came to Canada in 1995, you know, the inauguration, all that kind of stuff, certainly. But I watch a lot of this team and it's tough to like concoct the way that they beat these teams that are just better, especially if these teams come to play. And the Magic did. They put on their hard hat. And they go to work. Like it's defensive identity for them first and foremost. And the Raptors, you know, like they had a defensive identity early on. I think they played with each other. I think they were on a string for a ton of defensive possessions. I just think like if you get caught out in isolation, it's tough. You got to double. And you can beat Banchero, you can outthink him for a few possessions at a time. You can outthink Franz for a few possessions at a time. Even the connective stuff, you can try and catch up on these plays. But as far as doing that consistently over the course of a game, it's tough to contend with. They overloaded. And honestly, when we look at like 45% from downtown for the Magic, the Raptors, they had to. You know, Wagner, 8 free throw attempts. Banchero, 6. There was nobody else who was really a problem on that end as far as like pressuring the rim, getting to the free throw line. But the Raptors had to make sure that these smaller guys who were 100% could have sent Banchero and Franz to the line. Like they went 14 times between the two of them. That could have been 18 to 22 times probably. And so they overload and they try and rely on guys missing open shots. Jalen goes 3 for 6. Gary Harris, 2 for 5. Wendell Carter, 2 for 5. Jonathan Isaac, 2 for 4. You know, Cole Anthony, 2 for 3 should be expected, but Mo and Joe Ingles, they combine for 2. They both shoot 50%. Like, the Magic did their thing. That's kind of what they're supposed to do. The Raptors, as currently constructed, with all the injuries, this is a team that gets beat up on. This is a team that you just hope to see them compete, make sure that the other team has to go to secondary actions offensively, and make sure that they go deep into the shot clock. And the Raptors did that for long portions of this game. And then offensively, you know, they run a ton of their delay action. They move the ball quickly. They get into their sets quickly. They work out of the corner offense. You know, we even saw like the Raptors running Matthew Dellavedova 2015 Cavs corner offense, or you could even go to like 2017 Chris Middleton corner offense with the Bucks, and they were doing it with Bruce Brown, and they actually got some looks out of it. You have to be inventive with who is on the roster currently, and there's just very little quality for like big creation. And so they rely on like this hodgepodge, this mismatch. They rely on the scheme and they go north of 100. They certainly wouldn't have if, you know, Gary wasn't such a lightning rod shot maker in this game. And he has been over the course of, you know, the past couple weeks. It's a tough one. These games are tough to talk about, especially since like we're looking like, you know, JR, you know, I feel like I can call him that since that's what his nickname has been revealed as. You know, 10-5 in this game. And as Ede says, Ramsey was moving pretty well laterally on some of the possessions I saw. Yeah. He D'd up on quite a few possessions. And I think like also Ochai, again, 0 for 3 from downtown. He has to hit those shots to be a viable NBA player, basically. We're waiting to see that. And this is a team where, is Ochai going to be on a Raptors team like next year that allows him carte blanche in the same way, the same opportunities to kind of like go get after it offensively, take shots? I don't know. Not as many shots are going to be there. This is where you can get some of that, like that run. You need stuff to drop, right? It's like Grady is coming in like much younger, has had a run with the Raptors. He goes 0 for 3 in this game, but like you see where it's going to work in the future. Ochai offensively, we're looking for something to pop off. But defensively, I thought that Ochai also, like, he had a strong defensive game too. And Jamias Ramsey, I thought, did as well. And kudos to him. Like, Javon Freeman Liberty, a lot of people were upset the other game when Ramsey played instead of him, you know, asking Darko about it after the game. Why Ramsey instead of why Ramsey at all? And it's like, well, you know, he just signed his second 10-day contract. They're looking to get, they want to get eyes on him. They want to see what he does. JFL is here for the rest of the season. Like, he got converted, right? So that's kind of, you know, that's where it's sitting. The Green Perspective says, look at the contractual situations of the Raptors players. It explains who's playing and why. Explains who's playing and why. If what you're saying is like JFL is guaranteed for the rest of the season, the Raptors can get a look at him more than like in just the next 10 days, then like, yes, totally. And Jamias Ramsey, the Raptors want to get as much on him as quickly as possible because he's on a 10 day. That's fairly straightforward if people are wondering about that. JFL is on the guaranteed contract. He'll be back, like all that kind of stuff. And Ramsey, they want to get more info on, more data on, and that's kind of where we're sitting. And I liked his game a lot. You know, I was kind of wondering, because Darko had said in the pre-game, however, like, I guess it was like maybe 11 days ago or 10 days ago, that, you know, Ramsey hadn't missed any shots in practice. And I was like, what? In a whole practice? I thought he was just gassing him. Because he was asked, like, what's the first thing you noticed about Ramsey? Because you probably haven't seen much. And he was like, he can shoot it. And he did hit a three today, but he banked it in. And he certainly didn't mean to do that. But I did like the cutting. I did like some of the driving. And, like, while it's not driving from a creation standpoint, it's kind of just making do when lanes are available. I like the hustle. And defensively, yeah, there was some good stuff there. But, yeah, you look at, like, the way the rebounds chart out in this game, like Wara 5, Porter 3, Ramsey 4, Brown 4, Quickly 3, Gary 4, Kelly 5, you know, we have, I'm reading this wrong, Kelly 9, my apologies, Abaji 4, Grady 2, like it's spread evenly throughout, right? We're looking at a team that is just so similarly sized at so many positions, they're being cross-matched on so many possessions defensively. And on offense, they're just occupying so much of the same role around a couple hubs in Quickly and Olynyk. And then guys like Gary and Grady, they get a little more chances to do stuff. And obviously Gary just taking that chance, grasping onto it and succeeding immensely as a scorer. And credit to him for doing so. I'm a little disappointed with Jonte's game today. I thought active hands and pretty good feet moving around the floor defensively. Aggressive defensively, which you love to see from him. None of the offense stuff popped off for him, unfortunately, but I guess there's some good passing and some adventurous passing too. But as far as, you know, we're looking to see those 3-point shots go down. We're looking to see him hit a couple more shots from the short mid range to make sure that teams have to step up from the bottom of the defense, all that kind of stuff. This is a team that's looking for offense. I've honestly, over the past couple games, I've been impressed given the personnel, the type of defense they've been able to play for stretches of time. And that certainly doesn't mean they're world beaters. It certainly doesn't mean they're uber impressive or anything like that. But we're talking about a team that is, you know, I wouldn't say at the end of its rope, but it's just like overextended. And walking into every game against good teams, it's just like, how do you map out a win? When they gave Denver a scare, RJ was there. Like, if you take out, let's say, like, Abaji and RJ's in the lineup, that is a significant switch as far as, like, offensive firepower and the ability to build out sets offensively and run things you're familiar with and hopefully, you know, be able to mine offense to get to, like, more than 103 points per game. And so much of that, especially if you could combine it with a really impressive Gary shooting game. But that's just not the team right now. The team right now is, we're looking at a lot of guys who are fighting for their, not their NBA life, I shouldn't say, but they're fighting for minutes to prove themselves. They're fighting, you know, for a more concrete spot on the team. They want to show what they can over the course of this year so that they're, you know, the team is mindful of where they are next year. That's what it's all about. You know, you defend in a team concept, you operate offensively in a team concept, but there still has to be some, you know, attention paid to the fact that, like, yeah, there's a lot of guys who are kind of like anchored by, you know, what works best for me. And I really don't think that's the case for, like, I don't think this is a selfish team at all. I think I've been impressed with the way they're able to play, especially considering that, like, there's so much like motivation for self on this team. When you look at the opportunities that are available with injuries, when you look at like the shape of the roster based on the contracts, and you look at like, they talk about this in the G League all the time. You know, G League is cutthroat. G League is about like opportunity. G League is about volume. G League is about usage. And with the Raptors, like half the roster playing on a given night has had G League time recently, and these guys want to cement themselves in the NBA. It's pretty cool that these guys aren't just like gunning and just like that the game isn't falling apart, but that they do play in scheme. You know, credit to the players for that. You know, I'm not sure what Darko says to them for buy-in or anything, but they've been doing it, man. Tough game to talk about. Just really, I thought Emmanuel had some really nice playmaking early on. I thought that Gary was an absolute heat pump. I loved Grady, like the throw cross in transition, the quick snatch back, and then he threw the lob to Abaji. Like, that's really nice stuff. That speaks to some of his open court playmaking that I hope to see next to a healthy Scottie Barnes. But we'll see. Yeah, probably not this season. John Doe says long stretches of losses might be case for the remaining games ahead. It certainly might be. You know, there's not a lot on this team right now relative to NBA talent. So this is where we're at. If we get more fun games, we can do longer podcasts. But I do remember prior to these being, you know, live reaction podcasts on YouTube, you know, an average podcast was probably between like 15 and 20 minutes. And that was even for like a good game that I talk about. But somehow they started getting stretched to like an hour. I think it's hard to look at people like watching the stream and log off just because I'm like, well, you guys are here to listen, you know. But I feel like it's an early, I know last stream was only like 32 minutes, but I do feel that this stream also is coming to an end right away. It was fun when Wara hit the back-to-back threes. The crowd was popping off. They were back within eight. And I was like, ooh, interesting. Like, I certainly didn't think they were coming back into this game. I didn't think that was within the realm of possibility. But it was nice. Nice to see the crowd come alive. Raptors fan says, we back to sixth now for lottery odds. Woo. Yeah, I think sixth, 17th, 32. I think the Pacers are slotted for 17th. I think the Pistons are slotted for 32, which is the second pick of the second round. Could be a pretty good draft if things break the right way for the Raptors. And I got to be honest, we're going to be doing some early draft coverage this year, like 100%. And it probably is in the Raptors' best interest that pick does not go like they probably don't want it to convey this year. And when you look at the roster, who's here, the fact that guys who are injured seem to like look like they're going to be out for a while. Yeah, you know, that's kind of where we're at. Ian says, when will you start watching film of draft prospects? Phoenix Plays E says, Samson, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is the devastation level for you if the pick doesn't convey? And Nesta says, Ramsey and Wara were the two good takeaways of the game for me. Draft mode in full gear now. Okay, so when will I start watching film of draft prospects? I'll probably start March Madness, if I had to guess. But I think we'll do a podcast with Josh Codanera beforehand. He's a professional scout. And there'll be tons of conversations with professional scouts for consumption that I will have. And so myself and you, the listener, we can all learn together, I think. And then on a scale of 1 to 10, what is the devastation level for you if the pick doesn't convey? I don't want the pick to convey. So, like, I hope they keep the pick. So, not devastated. Like, I think that they could spend a little money in free agency. I don't know exactly on who. I think that they can run back a similar team this year, provided with health. I think they're probably a lot closer to a play-in. And I guess then that's like a, you know, analysis would be like, is it better for to have like the 13th or 12th pick next year than it is to have like four or five, one of four, five or six this year. I think I would take 4, 5, or 6 this year. Oh, you're saying, okay, the opposite. Ooh, if it conveys, I'm like, damn. I'm like, damn. That's tough. Because after a season this bad, obviously you don't want to like lock in on, you know, the Pacers maybe would do between, I guess they'll probably finish between like 17 and 20 is where the pick will convey from the Pacers. Not as exciting as like loading up on maybe like a top 6, top 5 pick, right? Although there is, you know, the gambler's fallacy, which was, I was talking about with my friend Goose, but there's this, the 7th spot has been doing a lot of jumping, like in the lottery. It's been doing a lot of jumping. The 6th has not been doing that. Zulfi, I believe, did like a look into this. And so we're kind of, we'll see what happens. Now, that's not how statistics work. Just because it has happened in the past doesn't mean that suddenly, you know, the 7th will stay still and the 6th will jump. But it would be pretty cool, you know, as Ian here says, and Phoenix Play Z, both acknowledging like Raptors were 7th. They jumped to 4. They got Scotty Barnes, who could very well be the best player from a very good draft. I guess we'll see. You just, yeah. So draft stuff. And then Ade says, in what situation do you draft for fit? I think you basically never draft for fit. It's so hard to project what players will develop into at the NBA level. Just try and draft the best daggum guy you can, because drafting is really, really hard. So just if you think a guy will be good, pick that guy, because it's really hard to pick good players. That's what I think, in talking to scouts especially. Coco says, happy to join draft education class this year. Yeah, we're all going to have to, you know, lose the ego a little bit and, you know, take a bow and learn from the people who spend all of their time watching, you know, draft stuff. And honestly, for the people like Grady this year, I hope you're excited to, you know, to hear from Josh, because I think Josh is like a tremendous scout and he was very confident on Grady. And I think Grady, despite some, you know, some valleys in the season, you can really see what the scouts who were high on him saw. I think it's really evident what's going on. You know, John Lamb says dedication for the 12:30 a.m. stream. We've done later. You know, the one we've done like 2:30 a.m. We've done all that kind of stuff. Although there were more viewers because the team was better. And as the team gets worse, you can see it across like everything. Viewership is just like, actually, I shouldn't whistle because I don't think this mic picks it up necessarily. Yeah, so we'll see. Nesta says Raps got the first overall pick in 2006. Being a poor draft, history tends to repeat itself. So another weak draft could mean Raptors jumping up. I mean, hey, I know a lot of people, they really like to dream on Alex Sarr. I don't know if he's considered 1 or 2 in this class, but I know he's like a big, big name coming out of it. And I know that like all of the, you know, fanfare around the Tampa tank was, you know, tank for Cade or fade for Cade, I believe it was. Lowly for Mobley. I don't know if there was one for Green or Suggs, but those were the, you know, I guess, yeah. Yabut says, but these viewers pound for pound are better viewers. You're so right. Everybody in here right now, tap yourself on the back. I don't want to use the term sicko, but I certainly appreciate y'all like tapping in to listen to me talk about really not like not the best game. And honestly, like it's the more fun. It's easier to have fun as a fan when you have like these players who you can project being like stars or like really high level role players. And you can see like how the shape of the team is going to be going forward. And they play like this really elite level of basketball. All that stuff rocks. And Raptors fans really know what that looks like, right? And that's just not been the case necessarily. So to everybody, like honestly, having 40 some odd people tuning in at this point in time, we've had like 500, 600 people in here at once when things were riding high. We're not riding high anymore. But although the like Spotify listeners or whatever, you know, like the podcast listeners, they've been pretty steady. So all the people who tune in regardless just afterwards, thanks to everybody for tuning in. This communal experience, you guys make it way better. But with all that said, I'm probably gonna cut the podcast off here. You know, I just I think we've talked enough, and I have to save some. Like, the Pull Up Tray podcast is coming back. There's been like busy on my end. There's been stuff on my end, and then also Trey, very successful businessman. He's got a lot of stuff going on. We have to sort stuff out. So that'll be coming back. He obviously he watches a lot of draft stuff too. It'll be really interesting to get his take. If you go back and look at the if you go back and look at like the Pull Up Trey podcast stuff, Trey and I, we were pretty good on a lot of the draft prospects when we did our own deep dives. And then of course we talked to scouts and stuff, but I think Trey, man, a credit to Trey. I think he has a really good eye for a lot of prospects, and has for like quite a few years. I'm excited to talk to Mac about prospects as well, and Curly. So those guys are all, they just watch so much basketball. Obviously I'm a beat reporter, so there's way more focused on Raptor stuff, but yeah, there'll be lots of fun stuff to come forward. Provided that fun for you is listening to people talk about basketball and some draft stuff. So Giovanni says, ask Trey about Kaman Maluak, center for Kentucky next season. Marcus Aurelius, I don't know if that's a play on like the famous figure, asked me this last stream. I will look at this guy, because obviously this is a blind spot for me, but I'll keep that in mind. And Trey, obviously, it wouldn't surprise me if he already knew about him. So, yeah. Phoenix Play Z says, next month we are about to enter spring. I'm sick of low single digit weather. It ruins my mood. I had shorts out on the plus 20 day, man. I was walking around Rexdale. I was getting some sun. It was great. I hope everyone enjoy your weekend. We'll be back here on Sunday, hopefully with a little bit better game, hopefully in a little higher spirits. And honestly, since it's away game, it won't be as long or like as late, because dagum, I will not be having to, you know, trek home from the stadium. Giovanni says, everyone has heard of Cooper in 2025. Oh yeah. Cooper Flagg is like, I've been hearing about that guy since he was like in grade 8. He's a big deal. Very big deal. All right, everybody. HY says, who's Trey? Trey is the handsomest, coolest man on earth, and I do a podcast with him occasionally. He's also, unfortunately for him, slower than me in a foot race. I hope he sees that. Okay, everybody, thanks for tuning in on these late, late podcasts. I'm going to get out of here. Like the video on your way out if you so choose. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you so choose. I can't imagine anybody tapping in doesn't do those types of things at this point in time. It's pretty hardcore stuff. John Lamb says, wave the flag for Cooper, certainly. And yeah, if you have the means to subscribe over at RaptorsAbove.com, that's how we stay alive. That's how we do what we do. The deep dives, the most in-depth analysis, that's how we do it with all the other kind of stuff. HY says, Chris Paroline, dude, that's exactly right. Trey does have he's a hairline king. All right, everybody, I'm getting out of here. Thank you so much. And whether you got into this in the morning or at night, have a blessed day and goodbye.